Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody. Welcome back to another week of The Stare Down. It's our sports talk and real estate show. My name is Sean Carpenter in Fayetteville, North Carolina, representing Fort Bragg. My buddy Bill Risser down in St. Petersburg, Florida, and our other friend Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Good evening, boys. Todd, how are you tonight?
Hey, good, Sean. You had a busy day, a lot of driving, eh?
A lot of driving. Left Columbus, Ohio at 8:30 with my daughter and her roommate who was home on fall break. We drove through the states of Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, delivered them to their dorm back for 8:30 class in the morning. And then I jumped in the car and drove another 2.5 hours back to Fayetteville, where I'll speak later this week for the realtor rally here. So a lot of time in the car, a lot of podcasts devoured, but not a lot of sports engaged in today. So I'm going to turn to you guys on the NFL talk today, all right?
Yeah.
No problem.
Bill, how about you, bud? What's going on?
Not much. Just sitting here watching football like we always do on a Sunday. Played in my golf league this morning, which, you know, is wonderful to be able to finish in time to watch the full slate of games.
Nice.
The good old East Coast thing is working out for me there.
Let's go in reverse order today. Let's shake it up for our listeners, our many strong Stare Down cast listeners. let's start with NFL action because I want you guys to kind of fill me in on what I missed today. Just a quick look at the scores. Couple shutouts today, which you don't see a lot in the NFL. I got to think those defensive players towards the end of the game, they really start thinking like, we can't give one up here. We gotta keep them out. So Bill, what stood out to you today in the NFL slate? Any star plays, any big, fantasy football, scores?
Well,
with Carolina, Bill.
we can start there. That's Eddie Jackson, right?
The
Alabama DB rookie who, it became the first player in NFL history to have two defensive scores with over 75 yards each.
What?
A scoop and score and a pick six, 75 and 76 yard plays. That really was the only offense the Bears had, right? Trubisky had one big throw and it led to a field goal. But, the final 17-3, the Panthers took a huge step backwards again. The Cam just couldn't do anything right.
So 17-3, no offensive touchdowns.
Nope, none whatsoever. So that's a lot of defense there. How about the Chargers? I know I had to say that name. I told you I wouldn't say it. But at StubHub, where 3/4 of the fans are rooting for the Broncos, they shut out the Broncos. The Broncos' first shutout since 1992, 25 years. So unbelievable.
Golly.
So those two just are – really the things that jump right out at me. How about you, Todd?
Who is quarterback in the Broncos right now?
Simeon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trevor, yeah.
Northwestern, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, those two games were big, Bill. Two teams going the wrong way, right? Carolina and Denver. Big problems there. Just scrolling through, I mean, Dallas just, wow. San Francisco's awful, but 40-10, that thing was never in doubt.
Zeke had 3 touchdowns in that one, right?
Yeah. The magic man who somehow gets off suspension again to come back and throw up 45 fantasy points.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, big.
That's a huge game. And how many yards?
Oh, from scrimmage, 215, I think, passing
Holy
and rushing.
Moly.
Yeah. That's a big game. Saving and rushing, yeah.
So another game that jumps out, the Dolphins down 14 to the Jets. They were down 28-14, come back and win 31-28. The big story there is they didn't really get going until Jay Cutler went down. I'm not sure what happened to him, Bill. I didn't see, but I saw Matt Moore come in, and he led them to 17 straight points and a victory. So that's pretty big.
They're thinking it could be cracked ribs. So he took a shot to the shot to the chest, and he was down.
You know, I will say, as I was we got stuck in some traffic today up near Lake Norman in North Carolina, just north of Charlotte. So I was just checking the scores because I was really checking to see if the Panthers were playing at home. Because we would have been heading downtown Charlotte right about the time the game ended.
Right.
And the score that really jumped off the screen at me was the Jets up 28-14. You know, they were talking about those guys going 0-16 this year.
Mm-hmm.
they're showing some signs of life. Buffalo, that division has some good teams in it. Buffalo beats your team, Bill. I see 30-27. Was that
a close rough game? Rough, yeah, very close game. In fact, the Bucks actually drive back to tie that game 28-28. They hold the they hold the Bills, get the ball back. They're getting ready. 2 minutes, they can drive down and win the game with a field goal. And their receiver Anderson, I think is his last name, fumbles the ball. on the 30 of their own 30, the Bills proceed to kind of play the clock down and kick the field goal to win it with 5 seconds left. So it was a tough loss for the Bucks. But I'll tell you that another game that just spells doom, you know, in the NFC West, and that's the Cardinals go down 33-0 to the
Carson Palmer went down, right?
Yeah, he's broken left arm. He's out for 8 weeks. So they're done. It's going to be Drew Stanton or I don't know who they pick up next. Blaine Gabbert, maybe they'll. what's going to happen there? How are they going to make that work? So maybe Kaepernick. Maybe Kaepernick.
I was going to mention that, Bill.
I'm sure everybody else is.
Hey, Sean, in the Green Bay. Sorry, in Green Bay, only the second ever Brett started a NFL game. Brett Huntley. That's a true story, and. It actually looked okay, but New Orleans wore them down 26-17. So Green Bay, Carolina, who's the other one that we mentioned earlier? Going the wrong way. Teams going the wrong way.
Denver and the Cardinals.
Denver. Yeah. Obviously, Arizona. Guys like the Bills, Miami, even the Jets, as you said, people thought they'd be 0-16, and they're scrapping out. Sean, we have to mention your hometown squad, the dreaded 0-7 Browns now.
And the Bengals got destroyed too. So,
yeah,
Ohio teams are 2-11, and I believe the Bengals' two wins have been against crappy teams. I'll tell you, Jacksonville tied for the lead in the AFC South with a big blowout today, 27-0.
Without Leonard Fournette, who surprisingly sat, devastating any chances I had of winning my fantasy team. So that's what happens when you play golf. You don't get to see those late minute scratches, and I didn't replace it.
Ouch.
So we got a big bagel from Fournette. But so without him and with him, they're amazing too. So that's going to be fun to watch. I thought, Jacksonville's notoriously crappy. So,
You know, as I scroll through the rankings, though, there's only three teams that have more than a two game lead. Kansas City has
maybe lost two in a row. Right,
and they've lost two in a row.
Yep.
Pittsburgh against a dreadful AFC North. Baltimore, I think, with Flacco is going the wrong direction.
Yep.
And Cleveland's just in not even in neutral; they're in reverse.
Right.
And then the Eagles.
Eagles
have a two-game lead. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. AFC East. Kind of everybody's waiting for someone to punch the Patriots in the face, and here's Buffalo and Miami's chance. They're both right now 6 games into the season.
4-2, right?
4-2, and depending what happens tonight, the big rematch, Todd, the big rematch.
Well, look, I think, I saw the stats tonight. You got the Patriots are first in passing yards, first in total yards, fifth in total scoring. The offense is there. It's just they got to get the defense squared away, and that's a Belichick specialty, right? So I think the Patriots get squared away. I don't like saying that, but I think they're going to – I still think they're the team that's going to win the East. So we'll see.
I agree. And, Sean, before we went live, we were talking about tonight's quote-unquote rematch. And my thought is the last game they played was for the Super Bowl. This is a Week 6 contest. Hardly feels like a rematch for a Falcon fan. hometown boy. Now, Sean, there's a big story in Cleveland today. I don't know if you heard or not. Bill, I need a little help. There's an offensive lineman. Last name, I think, is Thomas.
Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas went down. And, Bill, am I exaggerating? Did he have 12 straight years? Is that too many?
Without missing a snap.
Without missing a snap.
He was their number one pick out of Wisconsin many, many years ago. I think he was their first pick when they came back.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's been the guy that's been like, there was a story on the news in Columbus today before I left. And there's a family up in Cleveland that has a Browns quarterback graveyard in their front yard for Halloween.
Oh,
and there's like 17 or 18 gravestones in the yard. And Joe Thomas has been the offensive lineman for, I think, every one of them.
Wow. That's great.
They jinxed him. I mean, that story, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was tough. And it's funny how fleeting sports and life is, we've talked about, but all of a sudden on Twitter, there's like 15, 16 tweets in a row saying the end of an era. You know, this guy played so many consecutive snaps in a row.
Yeah. And you know, he's a good guy. He's one of those guys that the community loves. And, you know, he easily could have opted out of his contract, you know, when he gets to be that free agent status. And he just is kind of stuck with the team thinking that, you know, I want to be there when this team comes back because the city deserves it. So we'll see. Tomorrow night's game, Washington at Philly. Philly once again can stretch that lead, and Carson Wentz a chance to shine.
North Dakota State,
yeah,
rocking it. That's awesome.
Yeah, doing a great job there. I want to just quickly go back to Thursday night's game. What do you guys think of Marshawn Lynch being Marshawn Lynch? You know, just a horrendous decision to not only bump the referee, but to run on the field to do it, like to come off the bench.
Yeah.
And he's been suspended, I believe, a game. Is that right?
Yeah, he was out today.
Well, he went out today because he played
good. Next week he's out one more game. Yeah, I think he's a head case. I don't think anyone disagrees with that.
No.
I think even his coaches will tell you that he is. And it's just trying to maintain control with that guy. But, oh, well.
All right. Go
ahead, Todd.
Real quick, Sean. What I understand, and this is not excusing the behavior, but apparently the guy he went out to protect, they grew up together and were like brothers. Even though they weren't family, they literally grew up in the same house together. That said, why do you run on the field and grab a ref? And, you know, maybe his heart was in the right place, but, oh, what a terrible overreaction and costly. Not Bill, from a fantasy point of view, you start Marshawn Lynch and he's going in the first quarter, right? That's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, but the Raiders came back and won that game, so they got him off the hook. But
31-30, yeah.
All right. Hey, so let's before we go back to Saturday, yesterday's slate in college, which had some kind of boring games but some good storylines. Let's jump to – we're just very early in the season. NBA, can we go back to opening night and talk about something that happened 6 minutes into the season with the Cavs and the Celtics?
Gordon Hayward.
About as gruesome as an injury as I've seen. And here's the thing. I was in Vegas when it happened. So, you know, at like 4:10 p.m. out there, you know, I'm in the opening session at our Coldwell Banker event, and the guy sitting next to me like hands me his phone and says, look at this. And it's just, you know, as soon as I saw the highlights of, you see LeBron and the whole Cleveland bench like turn away, that was just what a shame for the kid, the Celtics, the season. You know, this kid is obviously a rising star. Of course, we're talking about Gordon Hayward from the Boston Celtics, who was playing the Cavs. You know, I think it was consensus that the Cavs are the East's favorite, but the Celtics were by far a challenger.
Mm-hmm.
And really the way things are set up is that Boston could have got home court advantage because they would have been kind of not resting their players and trying more. You know, they added Kyrie, they added Gordon Hayward, and he goes down. He, I believe it was an alley-oop. Is that right, Todd? He was kind of a alley-oop from Kyrie, and he landed on someone's foot.
So I'm this guy, right? I'm not the guy that jumps on the computer and has to see the footage. I'm exactly opposite. I avoided it at all costs. I read about it.
You heard about it, yep. You saw it.
I mean, I still remember, guys, you probably do too, but I had the unfortunate opportunity to watch Joe Theismann. Like, I saw that play live. And I think, didn't Crumry with Cincinnati had a Super Bowl similar incident, Tim Crumry, where his leg was a rubber band? Anyway, ever since watching Theismann, I avoid at all costs. When I see it live, I don't want to see replays. So, Bill, I think
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I won't go search out a gruesome injury anymore. Yeah, I'm just done with it.
I'll tell you what,
people have to watch it.
Just from the still photo I saw, that one is probably one of the worst I've seen in the NBA. In basketball, Kevin Ware with Louisville in the Final Four is still the worst one I think I've seen, because you see the shin bone coming out of the leg.
Compound fracture, huh?
Football, yeah. You mentioned Tim Crumry, Joe Theismann.
Yeah,
without a doubt. And that one was one when you watch the replay and you see Lawrence Taylor, who sacked him, instantly call for help because I think he heard the snap of the bone.
Yeah.
And then in baseball, you know, Buster Posey, we talked about it last week, getting crushed. And in hockey, there's none worse than Clint Malarchuk when the skate went across his neck. And
I remember that.
Yeah. That was like early days of Nick Charles and Fred Hickman on CNN.
CNN Sports Tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So NBA early season, but Bill, the consensus stare down favorite, the Golden State Warriors started off at a 1-2.
Yeah.
For the second year in a row or coming off their championship, they lose on ring night. They lose on the night that they opened at home. They lost to the Houston Rockets.
Mm.
We'll get to the city of Houston in just a minute after we talk about college football, but nothing really to talk about in the NBA. I think, you know, once again, we're
early yet. Right?
A little bit of Lonzo Ball looking very like not ready for the NBA in his home opener, but then, you know, throwing just a near triple double on the Suns in his second game. So
yep.
It'll be fun to watch him. I guess
was one assist away from getting it. I saw a great one of my favorite Twitter follows is Not Sports Center at Not Sports Center.
Yeah, they're
and,
awesome.
And their tweet said, after Lonzo comes up one assist short of a triple double, LaVar Ball demands instant and Hall of Fame induction.
I love that. So,
very good.
Speaking of Phoenix, you hear about Phoenix today, gentlemen?
Yeah, they fired their coach.
Fired their coach after three games.
Three games.
Earl Watson, I think. Is that right?
Yep, Earl Watson. Yeah, he had a horrible year last year. And I think he was a year and a half into it, basically, into his contract. So, yeah, that's unfortunate, but they had to do something. They were horrible.
I guess when they look at the direction of the team and it's three games in a series, are already saying, turn around and go back to the root. Turn around and go back to the root. Recalculating. Recalculating.
Nice.
So, all right, guys, let's talk college football. Like I said, it's one of those weeks where a lot of the big teams were off, especially for us, Todd. The Gators were off. For me, South Carolina was off. The Buckeyes were off. So, really, there was only two marquee games that we kind of teased last week. That would be the Notre Dame-USC game and the Penn State-Michigan game, and both turned out to be absolute blowouts.
Yeah.
The home teams both dropping 40 points on the board against two other big teams. But what stood out to you, Todd? Let's start with you. Did any games, any players, anything in the realm of college stand out?
So I was happy Florida didn't lose yesterday. So I was very happy about that. Sometimes a bye week is timely. So two things stood out. One, Oklahoma State, Texas was actually a pretty good noon game, right? 13-10, Oklahoma State.
Did you see the finish?
I kind of missed it. So what? Go over what happened, Sean.
So Texas plays a great game.
He's
a high-powered, mullet-led Oklahoma State Cowboys to 10 points.
Mullet-led, yeah.
It goes into overtime. They keep Oklahoma State out of the out of the end zone, force a field goal.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Texas runs a couple good plays, and it's third down. First of all, they had the ball inside the inside the 10 because of the pass interference inside the end zone. So it's third down, and the quarterback can't find anybody. He's a freshman, and he's just rolling left. And he throws it in the stands, right? He's kind of lofted it. I think he thought he was throwing it away because there was nobody around, but he lofted it so high, the cornerback peeled back and intercepted it in the end zone to end the game. And it was just it was at Texas, Todd.
Yep. You remind me, but I remember that now, yeah.
And everyone was like, why did he throw it away to a player instead of
– to Tua, the guy with the Tua.
Oh, it was such a bad loss. I immediately tweeted out, like, worst decision I'll see all day, and it's only 3 o'clock. You know, it was such a bad
year-old kid, you feel bad for him, right? He was a freshman, wasn't he?
Of course. Of course you feel bad for him.
So you feel bad for him, but at the same time, it's like, man. two things also stand out. One, Miami is quietly eighth in the country. They just keep winning. I don't know if they'll be – very good at the end, but good for Mark Richt and those boys down south. Have a question for you, Sean and Bill. Do you know Jim Harbaugh's record the last 11 games he's played?
He's 5-6.
He's 6-5, same as our friend in Knoxville, Butch Jones, who is 6-5 in the last 11 games he played.
Wow.
So talk about 2-3 years ago when he came on board, what a hype machine. People saying he put Michigan back on the map, and – gosh, he's just averages grits, which makes that Florida loss game one even worse, right? Michigan's not that good. And I think one of us on this panel picked them to make the Final Four. His name may or may not be Sean. But anyway, go ahead.
I see they dropped out of the
Bill just goes, oh.
I might have to go back and listen to that episode. I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I remember. I think you predicted him last year at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So. I think I did say they were going to be good. But
they're just having a rough year, huh?
First of all, they had nothing. They had nothing against Penn State. Saquon Barkley, once again, we'll see what happens next week.
Do you see the spread next week already? It's 6.5. Ohio State. Penn State's getting no respect.
Ohio State's 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Well, Ohio State's playing good right now. And, but once again, my brother, Kevin, one of the biggest logical, sane, level-headed Buckeye fans you'll talk to, he says, pump the brakes. You know, people are like, everyone in Columbus says JT is on fire. He's clearly setting himself up to be the Heisman winner. Look at his numbers. And Kevin just says they've played, Maryland, Rutgers, UNLV,
teams they should beat, right?
Oh, just teams that are just horrible. And then Nebraska. Will it be a good game? Yes. It's a 3:30 game because it's on Fox. It's not an ABC game because Fox is sort of kind of weaseled into the Big Ten territory. So it's not a night game. It seems like that game deserved to be kind of the end of the day.
7:30 matchup,
Two versus four or whatever Ohio State moved up to. Seemed like that'd be a good one. Notre Dame creeping around the chicken coop,
That's where I was going to go. I think, they made Sam Darnold look really ordinary. And so is he still the number one pick? I mean, how do you I don't know. He looked just kind of average.
He looked pedestrian for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that Notre Dame team is making that Georgia victory up in South Bend look that much better, right?
Right.
I mean, they beat 20-19, and at the time, rumblings around here was like, is Notre Dame even that good? I think Notre Dame's pretty good ball.
But do you want to see a Notre Dame Alabama championship game?
No,
not even close.
No.
Well, and let's talk about Alabama because there's a team that's really starting to hit on all cylinders.
Starting?
Well, I mean, yes, I say that, but they're a team that and every year it just becomes one of those things that I just don't know why people do it, but show the Penn State student section chanting "We want Bama."
No, you don't.
And that's just going to be one of those things that's replayed after they drop a 40 spot on them, especially yeah. I think the tweet I saw today said the last two Big Ten teams that have gone to the playoffs have lost a combined 59-0. Maybe they shouldn't be asking for anybody at this point in time. Just get there and win a game. But Todd, you're right. The Notre Dame victory, the Notre Dame loss to Georgia makes Georgia look that much better. And let's just maybe, once again, I hate doing this, but Alabama and Georgia get to that game in Atlanta undefeated. Close game, let's just say a last second field goal, something like that. It might be hard to keep the losing team out.
Well, I think if they're both undefeated at that point and there's not a big blowout, I think it's a guarantee they're both in the playoffs. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Clearly, I think the Pac-12 is out. I think Washington, no matter what they do, they can't do anything. Oklahoma beats Texas Christian or Texas Christian goes undefeated.
Right.
Oklahoma. That might answer itself.
And then the Big Ten.
Big Ten's going to get someone because Wisconsin's just going to backdoor into the West. I mean, the West is just horrible, and then the West is probably going to play the winner of this week's game,
right?
Penn State, Ohio State, because Michigan just does not look like they're going to be able to stop Ohio State come the end of the season.
That leaves a lot of one loss teams out of there that we're not even thinking about.
It does.
Clemson, goes on. Clemson, and on.
Clemson's still viable. Yeah.
Well, right. Clemson's still that team that, if they somehow, because they're going to have to play Miami at some point in time.
Yep. The winner of that game still has a shot.
Yep. NC State plays Notre Dame this week. Notre Dame's got that backdoor schedule that they got such a tough schedule. They have, the number one schedule in the nation still to play. They still have to play at Stanford. They still play NC State in South Bend this week. And they still play one other big game, and I forget who. How about the other end of the spectrum, Todd? Florida State, 4 losses now. I kind of joked about it, but by the time the Florida State Florida game comes around, that could be like a 10 o'clock in the morning middle school start game. because I don't know if ESPN or who has that game, but nobody's going to want it. That is a, you know, based on what we think might happen this week against Georgia. You know, we talked about Denver's streak, Bill. Yeah. Florida owns the record active streak for never being shut out. You know, 300 and some weeks in a row, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see, they better score against Georgia, because that's a game that Georgia.
Hey, Florida State, Florida is going to be a noon ESPN2 game, right? I mean, it's just
It's setting up or SEC Network. You know, not even a national coverage. Yeah. You know?
Florida State's down. They're not looking good, Sean. We've got a buddy, Big Gene. Remember old Big Gene? He loves to get on social media and make fun of Florida State. I'm like, Gene, we're 3-3.
Right.
And we could very well be 1-5. I mean, if we lost to Tennessee and Kentucky, I don't think either one of us would be surprised when we played. So I'm just like,
yeah.
Don't make fun of those guys. We're awful.
We've thrown four touchdowns. We've thrown for four touchdowns this year. One was a Hail Mary. Two were uncovered players in the Kentucky game.
Kentucky, yeah. Wow.
So we don't set up well to play against Georgia or South Carolina or these teams that have somewhat aggressive defenses. Back to the Tennessee-Alabama game, guys.
41-7, right?
Tennessee scored on a 97-yard interception return that really, if the, one of the receivers would have tried to tackle the guy instead of tried to push him out of bounds, he would have got him. But that was Tennessee's first score since the Massachusetts game. First touchdown since the Massachusetts game. And they still haven't scored an offensive touchdown in over 13 quarters of football.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. 13 quarters of football. Yeah. So anything else jump out? Texas Christian sliding up. I mean, they're putting themselves in position to, if they want it, they got to go out and earn it, right? Bill, how'd your San Diego State do? USF? I mean,
USF, they beat Tulane. Not a big win, 34-28, but another consecutive. They continue the streak of 30-point-plus games. San Diego State, unfortunately, went down to Fresno State. So Boise State and Fresno State put San Diego State back into where San Diego sports teams usually are. You know, you're a flash in the pan for a while, and then you settle back into, you know, maybe win a conference, but don't go much farther than that.
Okay. Bill, that South Florida win was in New Orleans. So
yeah, it was. It was. Yeah.
Great coaching win for a bunch of 18 and 20-year-old kids in New Orleans probably the night before. So good discipline. Right. Sean, just going back to Georgia real quick, and I live here, so I hear a lot. They're very excited, rightfully so. I think they got a fantastic team. I think they may put 50 on us. I'm thinking like 50-17 could be. The only reason they lose this game is if they're in their own heads, right, against Florida this week.
Yep.
But they sell Florida, South Carolina.
Auburn.
Auburn's
a big one.
And Georgia Tech.
Yeah, so that's true.
Before they go play Alabama. So my advice is enjoy where you're at, but there's a long, long, long way to go.
And Bill knows this for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm the biggest proponent of let's not set the Final Four yet because there's so many games to play. I'll tell you, Auburn with that backdoor loss that they had last week, that choke of a job in LSU. Mm-hmm. I really think Malzahn's job is on the line, as are about seven other coaches in the SEC.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, they beat Georgia and they beat Alabama. He's back. Looking ahead to next week, guys, as we usually do before we get to baseball and set up the World Series, be careful. I said Florida State's got four losses. They play that dreaded Friday night game at Boston College.
Mm.
Boston College, a team that can score some points and can play some defense. And Florida State just seems to not be able to score any points right now. Florida State could have five losses. You saw Jimbo Fisher got into it with a fan. That's the second or third time he's done that. Just not a smart move. He's possibly losing his edge there. Looking ahead next week, in what could be a game of the greatest bad hair coaches of all time.
Oak State?
Oklahoma State plays at West Virginia. Dana Holgerson.
Oh, my God.
So you have a mullet and you have a bald mullet.
The comb-over. He is the comb-over. And he won't wear a hat either.
Oh, it is. Wow. It is the best.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Arkansas and Ole Miss. You see Shea Patterson's out for the season. Broke his leg.
Yeah.
In that loss against LSU.
Both those teams that'll win, huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to see if anyone else.
Let me give you a West Coast game. How about the Sun Devils playing SC after coming off back-to-back wins over Washington and Utah?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, all of a sudden the Sun Devils decide to play football. So if they can beat a currently 21 ranked USC team as well, all of a sudden they're 5-3 and probably headed to a bowl, which wouldn't have thought about that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, the 3:30 slot has some pretty good game. Bill, with your setup, your double TVs.
Yeah.
You got Penn State at Ohio State. You got the Florida Georgia game, which we'll obviously have interest in just because of we're homers. Yeah. TCU goes on the road to Ames, Iowa.
They're a hot team right now, right?
Jumped into the top 25 for the first time, I think, in 11 years. Mm-hmm. Kirk Herbstreit is touting their coach as the number one get of all.
Cyclones, right?
NC State plays at Notre Dame, and even UCLA, Washington. Interesting game out west. Because with Josh Rosen and Washington now being against their back up against the wall, Houston comes into South Florida to keep their kind of chance to backdoor into a Big Six game on the line, and late games, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Kentucky. God, that's just a miserable game.
Georgia Tech, Clemson,
perhaps Texas. Texas, Oklahoma's been giving up some points, so let's see what they do there. And then, Bill, like you said, a late game, 10:45 start. USC at Arizona State. USC, they lose that one. That's their third loss of the season. And now you're talking about once again the UCLA USC game being relegated to a, Fox Sports 2.
You use the word relegated.
Yeah, I love soccer that. Term. Yeah. I like it.
My new favorite.
And Bill's San Diego State squad is going to Hawaii for an 11:15 kick. Bill, chance awesome. You watching that till the final whistle?
No, early tea time Sunday.
All right, boys, let's turn to America's pastime.
Yeah,
it was a good week in baseball. I'll tell you what, there was some games that were intriguing. They were fun to watch. I thought the matchups were great between both teams, between the Yankees, Astros, obviously go 7 games, and then the Dodgers and the Cubs were only at 5. But there was some intriguing play as we left it. It was 2-2 last week when we did the stare down cast, and 2-0 heading back to Chicago. I did win some money on the Cubs in Game 4. That's the only thing I bet on out there. I bet just $10 for them to win. One of my other buddies, who's a Cubs fan, bet $400 on them to win. But he took his winnings and bet on to win Game 5 and lost it all. So
you never win gambling. You just
so I'm gonna
have turn more to bet with. That's all.
I'm gonna put the attention on you, Bill, and let you start with which series do you want to kind of recap and what were you impressed by this past week?
Well, it's funny. I'm a National League guy, but the American League series for me was fun. Really, really exciting. I think that it's one of the. I can't remember the numbers. It's a low number though. Were a 7-game series. Everybody wins at home, right? And for the Yankees to be as dominant as they are in Yankee Stadium, and then to go 36 innings in Houston and score 3 runs.
Wow, is that what the numbers were?
3 runs. Yeah, think about that. And for Game 7 to have Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers shut you out, it wasn't Verlander. It wasn't Keuchel. It was, Charlie Morton. I mean, I remember when he pitched for the Pirates, he was horrible. And for him to, pitch as well as he did in Game 7, that was really fun to watch. Look, the Yankees are the evil empire. They're the, every sport has it. It's the Steelers in football. It's, whoever those teams are. The Red Wings in hockey.
The Patriots.
This time. Yeah, the Patriots. But I think that, to watch that young Houston team do what they did, Altuve, Correa, Springer, and then to have McCann in there, the grizzled veteran to kind of be the glue that holds it together. And then the whole story of Houston, right? It's just, it'll be a wonderful story if they could pull it off. I mentioned this in a tweet earlier. I grew up in San Diego, and the National League West was, had the Dodgers, the Astros, the Reds. You know, it was a whole series of teams. And to see the Dodgers, Astros in a World Series will always be weird. Because in my, just kind of in my psyche, in my youth, those teams played against each other a whole bunch of times in the National League. And now here they are in the World Series. Second time for the Astros. I think it's 19th or 20th appearance in the World Series for the Dodgers. So,
wow.
Going to be a lot of fun Tuesday night in LA. So just really excited to see the Astros. Love to see new blood in there. And it looks like a really exciting team. We got a good buddy, Ryan Bocross in Houston. So it's fun to have that kind of angled root for him too. So,
sure. Todd, what was your thoughts on the game?
Two things real quick, Sean. Bill, the second baseman, is it Altuve? Is that how you pronounce?
Yeah.
What MVP of the series, I imagine. If not, what a just great, gritty performance. I mean, he can't be more than, 5'6"?
That's probably stretching it. Yeah.
Yeah. On his tippy toes.
Yep.
And just what a great player. I haven't heard much of him. Not being a diehard baseball guy as I used to be, but he certainly got my attention this series for sure. Sean, another thing, going back to what Bill said, our old college friend at Velvet Barstool had a tweet, Susan, saying, God, I still have to kind of shake my head and realize that Houston's in the American League, not the National League.
Right.
And I liked it and retweeted because I'm the same way. Like, on a tired moment, if you asked me, hey, is Houston in the National League? I'd be like, I think so, yeah. But no, they're obviously moved over, 10 years ago? Probably.
I gotta think.
10 years ago.
No.
This is their second.
Less than that?
Yeah, less than 10. It hasn't been that long.
It hasn't? Okay.
This is their second World Series appearance, but the last time they were National League because they lost to the White Sox.
Right.
And so
I don't know. Yeah.
Have your teams, Bill, been to the World Series in both leagues?
Let me think that through. Probably not, because there's not been a ton.
Because Dodgers were National League when they moved.
Always,
from
yeah. Right? Trying to think, the Braves at one point were ALNL. So if you go way
Boston
back
Braves?
In the
Braves, like Milwaukee Braves, Braves
or? Yeah, I thought they were in the American League.
No, Milwaukee Brewers played in the. They're in the National League now, but they played in
the. They used to be in the American League, right?
Mm-hmm. They played in the World Series as
83 against the Cardinals, right?
Yes, yep. Yes. When Keith Hernandez.
But I don't think they have since they switched back to the NL. They were close one year, but I don't think they made it.
And I think I threw the tweet out to you guys. First, only three times have two 100-win teams faced off in the World Series. So very interesting.
That's a cool part of this story. You don't think about that too much, but these were the cream of the crop in both leagues. Yep. They both had those amazing streaks. They put together incredible seasons, and generally one of those teams gets knocked out, throughout the postseason.
In Ray, Atlanta Braves, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really set up. I did you see the stat that Fox pregame shared? And which, by the way, let's just tip my hat. Those guys with A-Rod and with Poppy and Hernandez and Frank Thomas, they just have fun. And it's really insightful for someone like me that doesn't know a lot of the inside, some of the stuff they shared. But I'm not sure who the host is on that show. He always wears the nice suits.
It's a shame. He's great, but I don't know his name.
Yeah,
right?
He shared a stat that the teams that have had at least 5 days rest are 1-8 in the last 9 World Series.
It's almost like they get out of the rhythm, right? I mean, baseball. Bill could speak on this. It's a game you play every day, right? Football. There's weeks. Basketball usually 2 or 3 days. So to sit for 5 days is
well. That being said, then maybe with Kershaw pitching game 5 in Chicago, and then he'll start
rested, right? Yeah.
Tuesday, right? I assume he's going to start Tuesday.
It's the bats. I think it's harder on the hitters than it is the pitchers.
Right.
And speaking of that, Kiki, what's his name, Bill? Kiki, the guy that hit 2 home runs in game 5.
Kiki Hernandez. Yeah.
Yeah. Whew, what a big game for him, huh?
Young kid. Three jacks. Yeah. He's their fourth outfielder. So he got it, gets that kind of that rare start, gets to come in, and for him to, I mean, that's just an amazing game, amazing, life-changing kind of opportunity for him.
Yeah.
To 7 RBIs, throw us a grand slam in there on top. That's awesome. Is the guy's name, is it Chris Rose? No. What's his name? I'm trying to find it now. You guys got me thinking about
he's
that.
He's good, though. I mean, he's
really good.
He's a good host. He drops a lot of good stats, but never comes off as, like, arrogant or, him. Reese Davis is the same way. Reese Davis always throws out a good stat. But
he lets those guys do their thing and be sticky and doesn't try to steal the thunder. And maybe I think the big hurt, Frank Thomas, I think he's the weak link of all those four guys.
I agree.
Maybe I'm wrong, but
A-Rod is the best.
Hated A-Rod as a player, right? Hates a strong word. Did not like him as a player.
His insights are fantastic.
Yeah, and he presents himself well. He's clear. Poppy, to me, I loved him as a player. I love him now. He's the same as he is. And Hernandez is just, you know, when did he retire, Bill? I mean, he's got to be long in the tooth, huh?
Oh, yeah. It had to be in the
80s. Let's see. So he won the series in,
he won in 86, the Mets, right?
Yep. 83 with the Cardinals. So he probably retired early 90s.
Hey, real quick, Sean. Well, I think Bill's trying to find that announcer. So I want to say I'm admittedly terrible at time. I'm just one of those guys that it could be a year, it could be 5 years ago. But I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, can you name the two Braves catchers that were on the roster, the everyday catcher and the backup catcher?
What year?
Probably 5 years ago. And again, my timing maybe.
Well, McCann.
McCann.
And the backup catcher. It wasn't Wieters, was it?
It was Evan Gattis. So
oh, Gattis. Yeah, that's right.
Both of the guys are on the Astros now.
I knew that. Yeah.
We couldn't keep one of them. I know McCann went to PH, right? He had to go American League. He was getting old. But I think Gattis is still probably close to his prime. So.
Yeah, but Gattis came out of that world. He was a catcher, but he played first. He played the outfield. He was all over.
He was a little bit of a hybrid, right?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, he could play anywhere. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, those are the. I see those two guys in the World Series. I'm like, man, we had Braves had them a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, any predictions for the let's go ahead and do it now before they play the first game. Who's going to win?
I'm going to say now. Does it go 2-2, 1-1-1, or is it 2-3-2?
2-3-2.
Yeah.
See that makes me it's hard to pick the Astros then to win it at home, which means they're going to have to win two on the road. I guess they don't have to win one on the road, but I don't see them sweeping at home.
I'll jump in. I'm rooting hard for the Astros, our buddy Ryan Bocross, but I think the Dodgers win. I'm going to say Dodgers in six.
Yeah, I'll say Dodgers in seven. I'd love to see seven. I'm rooting for seven.
I'd love it too. Yeah.
And I'm going to take Astros in seven. I think Verlander and Keuchel are, you know, you just need two. And I know that they have – you've got Kershaw, Rich Hill. It goes on and on, right? Kenta Maeda.
Kenley
Jansen in the bullpen is amazing.
Yeah.
But I just – I don't know. I got a feeling. Yeah.
Okay.
Thinking D-backs. D-backs.
I'm rooting for the Astros.
Hey, so. If it goes seven, that'd be awesome. I think as sports fans, and that's what the sportscast or the podcast is about.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that performance by Verlander – Game six was special.
Scuddy, huh?
I mean, it was just the stones he had and that play by
who's that center fielder? What's
outfielder?
His name?
Springer.
Yeah, two great plays.
Yeah. By the way,
Bergman's throw to McCann at the plate.
Last night, as soon as it happened, I tweeted you guys and I said, you won't see a better throw, but the catch by McCann. Mm. His glove was basically where it needed to be and the ball went right into it.
Yeah, and the foot immediately thereafter.
And you saw that Bird's foot never even touched the plate. I mean, it got pushed above by the tag. So that was great.
Hey, Bill, in 05, they called Atlanta the Baby Braves because they had a bunch of guys coming from – but it was then AAA Mississippi, the Mississippi Braves. But the most touted and most heralded – Baby Brave was a guy named Jeff Francoeur. You've heard him, right?
I'm sure, Francoeur. Yeah.
Journeyman major leaguer, but never really made it. The least touted by far was the pudgy catcher, Brian McCann. And here it is 12 years later. And not only is he hitting machine, but as Sean alluded to, the pick and tag he made is unbelievable.
Yeah. No, great player.
Hey, am I just getting old and crotchety? The Springer, when he made that catch in center field, I thought it was a very, very, very good catch.
Wide jump?
No, he had to jump, but like he didn't really hit the wall. I mean, it was a great catch, but I mean, they were touting like it was, you know, the great. I guess it's the pressure of the moment. I get it, but
how about the better catch was last night when he went over the left fielder?
Yes,
in left center. I mean, like at the center fielder's calling, he was calling it the whole way. You could see his mouth saying, "It's you know, got to go, left fielder." And Springer just said, "I'll just go get this." It was another really fortunate play there. So
Kevin Burkhart's his name. Kevin
Burkhart. There you go. There you go. That's it. Yeah. Thank you.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, all right, guys, let's wrap it up like we always do. Todd, what do you got coming up this week?
Real quick, Sean, I would be remiss. I'd be remiss. MLS.
Oh, yes. Please get some soccer in here. Yes.
Play-in game on Thursday. It is your Columbus Crew versus my Atlanta United. So, admittedly, I do not know the details of the of why they're doing a play-in game. I know they're 3-4. I'm not very familiar with the MLS playoff structure. But that said, your Crew is playing my United.
Which can I just say really quick?
Yep.
I was home for a day and a half from Vegas, changed laundry on the road. My Crew might not be my Crew next year. Big to-do in Columbus. The owners of the Crew, Lamar Hunt, you know, the former owners of the Chiefs, is kind of who started it. Either his kids or his family or his heirs. It appears that the Columbus Crew is being wooed away by the Austin, Texas organization.
Wow. MLS wooing? Is that?
They're going to take the Crew away because the Columbus Crew, who had the first soccer-only stadium in all of MLS, in all of the United States, the first only soccer stadium, now all of a sudden they're being, you know, brought away by the Austin, Texas organization.
Wow.
And it appears, you know, so there's all over like the soccer part of town, like the Clintonville area where the stadium is, are the Save the Crew signs and rallies. And, you know, it's really a shame that they're basically being back to, remember, Bill, you remember, and Todd, you're probably a kid, but when the Colts packed up and moved out of Baltimore.
Yeah, I remember it. 83?
The Mayflower vans.
Middle of the night.
That was 82-83, yeah.
Really the first team that really kind of sold out and went somewhere else.
Robert Irsay, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So my team and your team will play, and it could be a swan song for the
Crew. Did you see how many fans were at the United game today? I think 75,000.
Wow.
Wow, really?
Yes. They hold the record for average playoff attendance. I think the average is about 42,000. I mean, think of Arthur Blank. He builds Mercedes-Benz Stadium, obviously with a primary focus on football. And this little thing called Major League Soccer, he's got to be making.
Oh, that was in Atlanta, the Atlanta United. Wow. Yeah. 75,000.
Yep. Unbelievable, right? So, anyway, Sean, thank you for letting me bring that in. Just a pretty normal week for me. You know, Monday office day, and then Tuesday through Thursday, I'm going to make local calls here in the greater Atlanta area. Trying to close some jobs and be an asset to the distributor base I call on. So looking forward to it. I don't know about you guys, but between now and Thanksgiving, it's pretty high pressure, high intensity. Obviously, the factories, being a manufacturer rep, they want things to ship this year. So pressure's turned on a little bit, but come after Thanksgiving, that month before the first year, is a little bit of a slowdown. So it's a good time to get some other work done. But yeah, pressure's on. So gonna work.
Todd, went offline a little bit last week with us. Why don't you humor the audience? Talked about your young man that was riding with you, that I believe on the depth chart is a senior to you. But why don't you just shine the light on some rising stars in your Dorn Hardware world?
So I'm a manufacturer's rep, Dorstar. I rep 24 lines, 24 lines. So basically everything in a door opening, the frame, the door, every piece of hardware. So that said, one of my counterparts here in he was in Tennessee. He was an end user rep. Before then, he worked for the manufacturer, but he has been promoted to brand manager for the door control and door accessory group. And I don't want to bore you, but door control is the closer that controls the door. Accessories are like the wall stops and kick plates and things that protect the door. Long story short, we're calling last week, and he made a comment that one of the systems at one of the manufacturers was really old. It was like installed when I was born back in 1990. And all of a sudden I'm like, and the gentleman that was across the desk is probably in his 60s, right? And so I kind of, when we were going out, I'm like, hey, just some free advice. Don't need to advertise how old you are. Just let people think you're 21 or 45. Don't prove it. So great kid, 27, I call him a kid. As you say, he's, you know, he's not my direct line boss, but certainly a supervisor above me, and couldn't be happier for him.
Todd, 1990, we were still drinking Coors original banquet beer, stubby bottles.
Stubby bottles, yes. Yeah. The Budweiser stubby bottles, yeah.
Wow.
Gosh, it was just one of those things where I'm like, wow, yeah. 27 years old. Tyler Baker is his name. He's a rising star in a company and a good guy.
Shout out to Tyler. You must be born before this date on this, yes. You know? Bill, I really enjoyed I listened to it, caught up after Vegas, listened to your and Tracy's interview. I understand you did it on my birthday, so thanks for the double shout out, which I always appreciate. But that was a good conversation. I learned a little bit about her that I didn't know, and a good representative of the Cole Banker brand. So who do you got this week on, once again, I say it all the time, the best real estate podcast going, Real Estate Sessions. Who do you got this week for episode 112?
Episode 112. I'm headed down to Lee County, Florida. Naples realtor. Her name is Heather Whiteman. She runs the Treasure My Home team, a native Floridian, Todd. So I was very happy to get her on there, because I know you were, you know, born there, right?
And not born there, but lived there since I was four on. So okay, I feel like I'm a native.
No, she was born in Lakeland, and ended up in Naples at a very young age. Went to school at USF, and she's doing some great stuff. She's a Keller Williams agent, so. Heather Whiteman will be the guest for episode 112.
Good. That's your second one from Lee County, right? Pinky Benson was one?
Yeah, correct. Yep, so excited to have her. And then I just had to have one quick shout out for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Somehow you ignore them when they have more points than any other hockey team in the hockey league, but that's okay.
Wow. Yeah. Good start, huh? Good start.
7-1-1. Yeah, so they're playing very good hockey, and the buzz is starting already around here, right? They want to get back into the playoffs after last year's disaster.
So speaking of hockey and teams that are hot, the Golden Knights of Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. Vegas, right?
Off to a great start, and the town out there, really, there was a lot of electricity this past week. We had our closing night party in the home of the Columbus Knights, T-Mobile Arena, the Golden Knights, T-Mobile Arena. As I said last week, a little private party with the Goo Goo Dolls was our band. And it was a lot of fun.
And you remember who owns them, right? Remember who owns the Golden Knights? I just want to make sure I have to say this every time we talk.
Is it Fidelity or is it?
Bill Foley, the founder of Fidelity National Financial, our company, he owns the Golden Knights. In fact, the name Golden Knights, he was an Army grad. He graduated from West Point.
Okay.
And so Black Knights wouldn't work. They wouldn't allow that for some reason. There was some issue in Vegas, or some other team had it. So in some other sport even, but he went with the Golden Knights. Yeah, and he's so it's very exciting. It's part of our portfolio.
That's kind of cool. So you got to look ahead on the schedule, Bill, and see when the Golden Knights come to Tampa, and make sure that you guys have a suite that night.
I think we can work that out.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, were you on your A game at Gen Blue? Did you call it your closing night with a capital KNIGHD? Or did you do
that? That's well played right there. Well played.
Well, let's talk about your week, Sean.
I had a great week. Gen Blue, I did three sessions out there. I filled the first theater. I was in the David Copperfield Theater, and it was 750 seats, and they closed it down 5 minutes before we started because it was already full. That's always a neat thing, Bill, as you know, to have that many peers. And when I start off my thing, I say, how many of you guys have seen me at Gen Blue before? And about half the room raise their hands. And so to get, you know, half the room back and maybe earn the right to have the other half come back.
Do you make a little joke about that? Because I'll always say, oh, and you came back?
Right, exactly. And I said, there must be no one else on the agenda, right? Yeah, or whatever. But and then I did two other sessions in the Ka Theater, which is where Cirque du Soleil is held. A lot of fun. And then I was in the Grand Garden Arena, my first really time on a big stage in an arena, same arena where Michael Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear.
Wow, yeah.
And a lot of big MMA matches have happened.
Where Barbara Streisand made her comeback in 1994.
Yep, we talked about that last week. That was kind of fun. So Vegas is always fun. It's always fun to talk in front of your peers. And this week, guys, it's I told Todd before we went on the air, I have two closings this week, Bill.
And I have big week for Sean.
Three speaking gigs. So,
nice.
Yeah, so I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina on Tuesday doing two sessions. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky doing a leadership class, and then back in Columbus doing a webinar for the Ohio Association of Realtors. So a good week, a fun time, and a lot of catching up on podcasts with about 2,100 miles on the road. So if anyone out there in the Stare Down Cast audience wants to know some good podcasts to listen to, hook me up. And let me know. So, guys, always fun talking to you. Always fun talking sports and having a few beers on a Sunday night. Got a big week ahead with some big NFL, some big college, NBA, and NHL in gear. And the World Series starts on Tuesday. So you heard it here first. Who's going to win? Todd thinks it's the Dodgers. I think it's the Dodgers. And Bill thinks it's the Astros in seven. Let's hope that comes true because we can talk about it next Sunday. And until then, thanks for listening to the Stare Down.